I want to preach to you this thought tonight, arguing with myself. The Bible says this, now faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So whatever I'm hoping for, my faith gives substance to my hope. Amen? The evidence of things not seen. I may not see it, but my faith sees it. It gives evidence to what I can't visibly see. I can't see Jesus here, but my faith says he's here. Amen? I have not seen the cross, and nor have I even seen the empty tomb. I know it exists because a lot of people have been there, seen it, and said it all existed, but I haven't seen it, but my faith says it's all real. So faith is the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. The report that God gives for the elders is that they were men and women of faith. Now let's move on to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't please God unless your faith is active in your life. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for all that you do in our lives. Father, I thank you for your power, your anointing. I thank you for the faith that we can have through your Son. I thank you for the cross, and I thank you for the empty tomb, and I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all that you have done, Father. Pour your spirit out in this house tonight. Let your anointing be here in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I hope I'm not the only one who argues with themselves. I have had many arguments. You might see me sitting on a pew looking holy, or you think, oh, isn't that a stoic face the pastor has over there? The Lord's really moving on him. But what you don't know is I'm fighting with myself and my mind. There have been many times that my faith and my flesh have collided. They've met on the battlefield of my own mind. And there's a constant struggle between faith and flesh. The flesh is all about the tangible, feel, taste, touch. It's all about tangible, but faith believes beyond feel, taste, or touch. Faith will take you past what you feel and take you into a desert and keep you in a desert. The flesh will abandon you there. Faith will keep you there. Faith will battle against the mindset of I'm never going to be able to overcome. When the flesh says you can't do this or you won't be able to, your faith steps in and says, who are you talking to? Of course I'm going to do this. Of course I'm an overcomer. Of course I'm victorious. Faith is always in constant argument with our flesh. Constantly arguing with ourselves. Christian, if you've been saved any amount of time, you've had this argument. No, I'm not going to quit. Come on now, right? No, I'm not giving up. You've had the argument with yourself that says, I'm going to make it. Something inside of you at the deepest and most difficult time in your life bubbled up inside of you, looked at your flesh and your mind that said, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just surrender and be done with this? Throw the towel in, it's all over. And then your faith comes up and says, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You're a Christian. Look at you. You ought to be serving God with everything. You got to keep going even when it's rough. Keep going even when it's bad. Keep going even when others ridicule you, mock you, make fun of you. Keep going when it falls apart. Keep going when the bills get bad. Keep going when the car breaks down. Keep going when the job lets you go. Keep going. Every time you turn around, faith will tell you, keep on going. And so, Christian, you and I find ourselves arguing with ourselves. Because there's two parts of us, faith and flesh. Paul said this, the things I know that I ought to do, I don't do. And the things I know I should do, I shouldn't do, I do. He said, there's a massive war going on inside of me. There's a war inside of every single one of us. And so there's a constant battle for faith to gain the ground. For confidence in God to gain the ground. If there's ever been a guy in the Bible who argued with himself, it was Gideon. Right? Gideon argued with himself. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you have had the same arguments? God, are you sure? Right? I mean, this is an army, 135,000 man army, Lord. And you got me down to 300 men. And here's your strategy. Divide the 300. That don't make any sense. I mean, seriously, how's that going to work? But faith in Gideon was constantly warring with the flesh in Gideon that says, this is crazy. This is nuts. This isn't a good battle tactic. This isn't how it's supposed to be. And the faith on the other side just kept saying, you got to trust God. You saw the fleece. It was wet one day, dry the next, just like God said. You got to trust God. You got to keep believing God. You got to keep trusting that God's going to do this. If you do it, what is God going to do if you get out there and do it? And what will happen if you don't do it? Could you imagine the battle going on inside of his mind? I mean, there's a real battle going on there. A battle for the right ground. Who's going to win the argument? Who's going to win the argument? I've seen many Christians give up on the road to heaven because they lost the argument with themselves. I'm serious. I've seen it in this very church. Where good Christians who love God get out of sorts with other Christians in the church. And they're sitting in the church and they're doing well. Everything's fine, but they're arguing with other people in the church. They're upset. They're bitter. The people on this side of the church ain't talking to the other people on that side of the church. And they're upset, they're frustrated, and the whole time there's this war inside of them. No one knows it. You shake their hand, they smile and say, oh, bless you, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be here today. And the whole while they're thinking, blah, 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 inside their heart, because they're warring inside themselves. There's a battle in their mind for the ground. And faith is saying you got to let it go. Faith is saying you got to overcome this. Faith is saying you got to forgive. And the flesh is saying, I ain't got to forgive nothing. Right? And I ain't got to let nothing go. That person wronged me, right? That's what the flesh says. And faith is in an argument. And I've seen good Christians lose to it. Good Christians, people that love God, that are not in the house of God now because they lost the battle with themselves. You got to let faith win. I said you got to let faith win. And oftentimes that means a death blow to self, right? That's what it means, a death blow to yourself. And you're going to have to put down the flesh and exalt faith in your life, because by faith the elders obtained a good report. Not by the flesh, by faith they obtained a good report. Faith is the substance. It puts substance in your hope. It puts evidence in what you can't see. You may not see that Christ is going to bring you through, but your faith is saying, Christ is going to bring me through. And so by believing, it gives evidence that God is there to support and keep you. And you walk through the trial, the valley, the heartache, the fiery furnace, the lion's den, all because you believe that God's going to bring you through it. Faith brings that substance, brings a good report. And without the faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that He is, that He's your God, He's going to keep you, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is not God a rewarder? Does He not reward us? Now, I want you to think about this. I heard a person say one time, a leader, and they said, you know what, I think we're going to have to close down a church. And when they said that, my heart sunk. the last thing we need to do is close a church. We need to start some more churches, amen? I mean, that's the last thing we need to do is close doors. And my heart sunk. And you know what my faith said? My faith said, that's not faith talking. Faith don't talk like that. Faith don't talk like that. Listen, in the natural sense, I understand where that man was coming from. In the natural sense, there's no finances. There's no pastor. There's no leader. There's no one to care for the facilities. In the natural sense, it don't look good. But in the spiritual sense, there's nothing impossible with God. You understand what I'm saying? So faith looks at things a whole lot different than your flesh will. It looks at Kingman as a fruitful ground. That's what it told my flesh. Right? Faith sees things differently than anything else. When people get on my nerves, oh, listen, you think I like everyone. You are wrong. Amen? You are wrong. There are some people who rub me wrong, and they need to be slapped. And I'm serious. I've met rude people. You ever met rude people? People who are just mean, and when you get around them, they're mean, they're ornery, they're ugly. They need to be slapped. But Jesus tells me to love them. There's an argument going on in myself. You understand what I'm saying? And as a pastor, I can't go around slapping people. That won't look good on me. Amen? People might say, that pastor slaps people that go to his church. So I don't know if you ought to go to that church. Amen? So I don't slap anybody. But I've met some people that my faith said, love them and show them the love. And my flesh said, punch them in the teeth. My flesh, and I say faith or flesh? Flesh. That's what my flesh is. Come on now, I'm being real. I'm being real. Listen, I'm not preaching anything you couldn't get up here and preach yourself. Right? And anyone on live stream who's judgmental, get saved. Amen? I'm telling you, this is how it works. The faith and the flesh are in constant battle with one another, and the flesh wants to do something contrary to what the Spirit wants you to do. And so there have been people that I put my arms around that I really wanted to choke. But I put my arms around him and said, I love you. Even though in my heart, my flesh was saying, how could you say such a thing? Come on now. Because faith and the flesh are in constant war with one another. And you're going to argue with yourself. Now think about this. The children of Israel saw the beautiful blessings of God. They saw the miracle of deliverance. They saw the miracle of all the Egyptians giving them the riches of Egypt when they walked out. They saw the beauty of the Red Sea parting. Could you imagine watching God part a Red Sea and walking on ground that is dry? Could you imagine what it was like to be on the other side and watch the waters recede and drown the army that was coming to attack you? Could you imagine how it was when they were hungry and all of a sudden it starts raining bread from heaven? And when they're thirsty, a rock provides water? We're talking about a massive, mighty God. And when it comes time to go into the promised land, they go and they spy out the land, and 10 of the spies come back arguing with themselves. They did. There's no way we can do this. They're just too big. They're too mighty. The cities are walled, and we're like grasshoppers. So their flesh was overcoming their faith because two of them listened to their faith, didn't they? Caleb said, we are able at once to go up and possess it. That is faith, believing that God will, can, and will accomplish it, that he has the power to do it. He has the power and he will do it. We just need to step into it. Faith will cause you to walk in realms that you'd never walked in before, make you go places you'd never went before. They were going to possess things that they didn't even work hard for because God was going to bless them with it. But when they came back, 10 spies lost the argument in their own heart. And it caused the rest of them to wander in a wilderness for 40 years because they argued with themselves. Now, Christian, you're going to argue with yourself all the time. You're going to argue with yourself probably the day Jesus comes back. It's going to happen. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to do as Paul did. You're going to forget those things that are behind you, and you're going to press towards the prize and the mark of the high calling of God. You're going to keep pressing in. You're going to have to overcome some things. Now listen, while you're fighting, I want to give you some things that faith will never say. Are you ready? Because you're going to argue with yourself. And I want you to know, as you're arguing with yourself, your flesh will say this, but not faith. You ready? Here's number one. Faith will never say, I quit. I quit. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. Now listen, my flesh has said it several times. My flesh has said it when Christians I thought should love me chewed on me and didn't love me. My flesh has said it when I have fallen down as a Christian and those other Christians came by and go, well, aren't you just so holy? And then they kick me when I'm down instead of picking me up. I've said I quit several times in the flesh, but my faith always comes back and says, what are you talking about? Look at where you've come from. Look at what God has done. God starts reminding me of victories and testimonies of how good he's been and how triumphant he's been and how mighty he's been and how gracious he's been and how loving he's been. And he gets my mind off the people who chewed on me or kicked me or belittled me. And he gets my mind on him who loved me and died for me and paid the price for me. And he reminds me of my own commitments where I said I would never quit. I told God those exact words when I got saved. I will serve you for the rest of my life, no matter how bad it gets. There has been times that my faith has rose up in the face of adversity and said, Bruce, didn't you say you would serve me no matter what? Because faith will never say I quit. It'll always say, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You always know you're around a good Christian when you're falling apart and they put their arm around you and say, you just keep on going. You just keep on going. Don't you surrender. Don't you give up. Don't you let anyone put you down. You keep serving God. You just keep going. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm arguing with myself. Amen. I know you all like that. That's why I do that for you. Number two, faith will never say, it's impossible. The flesh will say, we don't have the money. The flesh will say, we don't have the support. The flesh will say, there's not enough people backing it. The flesh will say that it's not feasible. There's not enough energy. There's not enough drive. But your faith will say there's nothing impossible for God. Amen. When we were building this building, it seemed a really high price. It looked impossible in the flesh, but you are sitting in a building where a board and a congregation dared to believe God for the impossible, and God did the impossible, and you're worshiping in a building tonight that was done because God can do anything, and our faith said nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Nothing is. Finances are not a hindrance. Do you know your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? I don't know who wrote that song, but bless God, that's a great song. Amen? And I believe I own at least one. How many heard that song? Charles Johnson Revivers. You know that song, right, brother? Charles Johnson Revivers. I love them. I can't ever find a CD from them, but I love Charles Johnson Revivers. Wonderful, wonderful song, because my God is wealthy beyond your imagination. God owns every dollar that you can ever even imagine. There's not a currency in this world he don't have control of. There's not a government in this world that will not collapse when he walks in the building. There's not a thing in this planet that can withstand him or withhold him or keep him from doing what he wants to do. If my God wants to stop the sun, for heaven's sakes, he'll stop the sun. If my God wants to rain fire, hell, and brimstone down on wickedness, my God is very capable of raining down fire and brimstone on wickedness. My God can do the impossible. And so when my flesh says it's not going to happen, my spirit and my faith says that God specializes where I can't. Amen? Because faith will never say it's impossible. Because it's not impossible. God specializes here. They said to Jesus, who then can be saved? It's impossible. And Jesus said, with man, it is. But with God. You see, faith knows that. But God. Faith knows that. The flesh just sees the outward situation. The flesh sees what's going on. The flesh counts every dollar and every penny. I always know we're broke when my wife starts telling me what we have in the bank account. That means don't spend anything. She says, look, you've spent enough, quit. Okay. Now she doesn't know that my faith engages right at that moment and says, you're not broke. Am I right? She knows me. I'll spend it anyway. I told you not to eat out. I told you we're broke. And I go, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I want a McDonald's hamburger. And I'm going to have one. Come on now. I've done that many times, right, baby? Because my faith will engage. But the truth of the matter is this. My wife sees it and says, there's no way. But there's been times where God has taken where we could not and the finances and made it stretch to bless us and keep us and sustain us. I've seen God pay off more debt and more things in my life that I've occurred throughout the years because God was faithful and good to me and faithful to me because I've been faithful to what he's called me. My faith has been engaged. And when I need something from God, listen, I have a relationship with my Jesus that if I need anything, I do not lack it. Because my Bible tells me I can ask anything of my Father which is in heaven, he'll give it to me. And I'm telling you, my Father in heaven, he loves to bless me. Amen. I can say that for me. I can't say that for everyone else, but I can say that for me. My Father loves to bless me. The people you don't think he can save, he's ready to save. The people you don't think that will come in humility to him, he's ready to do it. All right, I got to move on. I got to quit. I got a few more I want to go to. Ready? Faith will never say, I can handle this. Faith will never say, I can handle this. Your flesh will say, I got it. I got this covered. I'm going to take care of this. Come on now. You people that love to have control over everything. Right? You have no problem saying, I got this covered, I got this handled, and so you'll work fervently, you'll work till you're sick in your body, and you'll endeavor with all that you can because you got this covered. I can handle this. But here's the truth of it, my dear friends. You couldn't handle it, so God sent his son. You couldn't do it, so God sent his son. You couldn't overcome, so God released the Holy Ghost to be in your life because God knew that you could not handle what was coming your way. So he made a way that was no way even to be made. He cut a path for you to walk on because you could not handle it. And so the flesh will say, I got this covered, I'll get it handled, and it'll jump into something and start working it out without even praying or seeking God or trying to figure it out in prayer. And next thing you know, you're in a mess because you tried to handle it. Have you ever been on the other end of something you tried to handle and finally said, I quit, I'm giving it to you, Lord? Right? Sometimes you got to let go of you and give it to the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I argue with myself. Just trying to keep you awake, that's all. Faith will never say someone else can handle it. Faith will never say someone else can handle it. I know, Lord, that ministry really needs to be done. But somebody else can do it. Right? I know, Lord, that that person needs to hear about you, but someone else can do it. I know Brother Jack needs someone to go pick up bread, but someone else can do it. I know that the plate church over there smells because Jack brings in the junkiest food sometimes. Someone else can clean it. I'm not, no, you know what I'm talking about. It just happens. That was not an indictment. That was truth. Amen? Someone else can clean it. And the whole time, God's trying to get you to do something. And the flesh will say, someone else can do it. Someone else can handle it. Someone else can be an usher. Someone else can fulfill the need. Someone else can pay their tithes. Come on. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Someone else can give in the offering plate, right? This church is surviving off people who believe that they are responsible for their faith. Amen? And they're working it out in their finances and their tithes, their offerings, they're working out in their life. And let me tell you something, you'll never outgive God, ever, ever. Even if you're broke. Listen, if you pay your tithes and you miss a bill, you come talk to me, I'll give you your tithes back. I'm serious. I'll give you your money back. Because I guarantee you, you're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. Someone else can handle it. The bills of the church, someone else can handle it. Praying in the altar, someone else can handle it. Being faithful to God, someone else can handle it. You get what I'm saying? Faith never says these things. The flesh will, but faith won't. All right, here's my last thought. Faith will never say, I have arrived. Now listen, there's going to come a point though in your Christian experience when you're going to see Jesus Christ. At that moment, you've arrived. Amen? So I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about this side of heaven. You'll never say, I've arrived in my Christian experience. Now there are some Christians who are just pompous enough, arrogant enough to stand up and act holier than anybody else and put on that air about them that they have arrived, that they are God's gift to Christianity. And they use their platform and they use the ministry as a tool of beating other people into shape. When you're like me, you're saved. When you dress like me, act like me, talk like me, you're saved. I've been around Christians like that. Is anybody else? I was taught to look like every other preacher, that I couldn't just be me. And I'm so thankful you're not me, because this place would be the most boring place in the world. We're all individuals. We have our own walk with God. The Bible commands us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have not arrived. We won't arrive until we cross over that Jordan and we see Jesus face to face. Then we will have arrived. But none of us should ever look down on somebody else or ridicule somebody else, because faith will never, ever do that. Faith loves to lift up, church. Faith will exalt and pick up. Faith will heal wounds and will try to calm a problem. Faith will speak peace into people's lives. It does not do the opposite. And yet there are people who feel like they have arrived in their faith, and so they have this special place with God to cast judgment. I want to say something. I've heard a lot of old-time Christians say they're not saved. Are they God? I mean, do they understand the heart of that man or that woman that they're judging? Do they really know God's mind on the matter that someone is not saved? Now, I know that through Scripture, we can see that a lifestyle is contrary to the Word of God and thus judge properly that the fruit of this life is not right, and that And that you and I would probably never do that or participate in that because the scripture leads us in another direction. But I want to tell you something, Christian. Before you start getting ready to judge somebody, be very careful. Be very careful because the same spirit that says, I have arrived, is the same spirit that loves to cast judgment. And I want you to be careful about that. I want when somebody tells you and asks you, is that person saved? You need to say, well, that's between them and God. They need to work out their own salvation. Come on, somebody. And they may not be as mature as you are in Christ. They may not have come to a place in their walk with Christ where they've matured and understand. But listen, I'm a parent. I'm a lot more mature than my son. And so I tell my, now sometimes I don't act like that, but I try to be more mature than my son. And so when my son starts acting immature, I as the father don't stand back and go, you're supposed to be a man. What's wrong with you? I don't beat on him. I understand he's young and that he's got some learning to do. And I understand that in the physical realm of things, he's got to develop. There's going to be Christians that come into this house that you're not going to agree with everything about them. They're going to wear hats. Oh, God forbid. God forbid that someone wear a hat in the house of God. That their body is in a place where God can speak to them, but they've got a hat on. God can't speak through hats. Come on now, I'm being real. Now, I know that there's a respect level. Don't get me wrong. I know that there's respect and there's honor for the house of God. But listen, I'd rather their broken down, sinful body be sitting in the house of God, letting me preach at them for a little while with a hat on than us getting all bent out of shape because I got a hat on. I got to get that hat off. Right? Come on. I've said for years that if a prostitute walks in that doors and she looks like a prostitute, she's welcome in this church. Let her sit on that front row. Let God speak to her heart. And when God saves her, he'll put more clothes on her. Amen. Let God clean the fish. We just got to catch them. It's not our job to fix them, our job to catch them. And sometimes the spirit of I have arrived will start talking to other people. Now, Christian, faith, real faith, doesn't allow that to take place. It sees beyond those things. It sees beyond those things. Listen, allow your faith to look beyond the troubles of other people and see the potential of what God wants to do in their lives. Because you are a fixer-upper too. Right? When God found you, you were not a gift to this thing. Right? You did not know what you know now. You couldn't lay hands on people and pray for them and even understand what you were saying when you first got saved. The gifts of the Spirit, you didn't operate in any of those when you first got saved. God pulled you out of a muck and mire, out of sinfulness, and I don't care if you even grew up in church. You were the worst of us all. I'm serious. I talk about my life saying I was a sinner, but some of these people that grew up in church, you were more wicked than me. You were in church and still didn't serve him. That's more blasphemous than even my life. There's a lot of people that we need to look beyond them and see what God sees. You name one person walking the earth today that God doesn't love. And we'll go ahead and throw them in hell now. Because there's not one. I said there's not one. Christian, it's not our job to feel like we've arrived or to be judgmental or to get that mindset or attitude. It's our job to say, Lord, I'm still working on me. I got things in me that I need you to work out. And God works those things out in you just like he works those things out in others. And so we need to be patient with one another, loving one another. This is Bible. I just quoted the Bible. Loving one another. One of the fruits of the Spirit, and guess what? Patience. Why? Because there's going to be people that need it. Right? Long long, 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 long suffering, right? There are things that we're going to have that fruit of the Spirit to be long suffering with. But if you have the spirit of I have arrived, or the spirit of I've got this plane to walk on that you're not on, instead of long suffering and patience, you're ready to put them down. Come on, church, am I wrong? If you've run across some of these folks, you'll know what I'm talking about. So, Christian, make sure your faith overcomes that attitude, because there's a realm to walk in God that God will take you to, that you'll be on a plane walking with Him, and the Spirit of God will be moving in your life in such ways, and blessings flowing in such ways. Every service, the Spirit of God will move on you and bless you and encourage you and uplift you. And if you're not careful, you can become pompous and prideful. You know what Paul said? You know why the messenger of Satan came to buffet him? Not because Paul was a bad guy, but because Paul said, the Lord allowed this to be in my life so that I would not be exalted above measure, so that I wouldn't become prideful because of the visions and the mysteries that God was revealing to him. God allowed that to make sure that his faith constantly won out. Church, we got to be careful that when we're arguing with ourselves, that we listen to our faith. Because faith is the very substance of our hope. What you hope for, faith will put it in your hand. It gives substance for it. It's the evidence of things not seen. Whatever you don't see, but you know God's going to take you there. Maybe God's giving you a vision, a dream, a passion, a ministry, an objective. Your faith will take you step by step by step by step by step. As long as you listen to your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible.